is our third Trade Union General Secretary, and I think he'll need little introduction. In August, there was a programme of University Challenge where 8 students were competing, and they were shown various photographs of trade union leaders. And when they were shown a picture of Derek Simpson and also of Dave Prentice, they looked completely blank. I didn't recognise them at all. But when they were shown a picture of Bob Crow, they instantly recognised him. Bob Crow is also, as well as being the leader of the RMT, the Rail, Maritime and Transport Union, he also played a very valuable role in the No to EU election challenge in June, in the European election, and he is now encouraging moves towards a new workers' election alliance for the general election next year. So I'm going to now introduce Bob Crow to speak.
Upon my promise, it's a great pleasure to be at your rally again. Obviously, after listening to Matt Rank and Keith Gibson, I've been asked to come in here to be the moderate speaker. In fact, when the chair said about Dave Prentice and Derek Simpson being blank, was it that they was blank or...? Comrades, we can have a laugh and joke, but I don't think our class of people, and this age of people, are going to see the attacks that are going to take place against working people that we're going to see in the next 18 months to 2 years to 3 years. We're faced with a situation, both industrially and politically, where we've been completely underrepresented as working people. When I say working people, I mean those fortunate with work, those fortunate, unfortunate people who can't get work in the moment, the people that can't go to work because they're single parents, the people that have had injuries, and the pensioners. That's the classes of people that I talk about. And political parties represent classes of people. The Tories, Liberals and New Labour, there is nothing ideologically apart from three parties now. They all support privatisation and embrace it. They all support illegal wars. And they all support keeping the anti-trade union laws in place. I thought the role of the TUC was supposed to be to organise and galvanise the workforce for those people that was on strike. It seems to me that ACAS has disappeared now, and TUC is now the new ACAS. Why would Brendan Barber want to share a mission with the bosses one side and the workers the other, like a pair of scales with a judge and say who was right, who was wrong? I couldn't care less what the situation was. A organisation that represents working people in the CWU went into dispute, and they've gone into that dispute with the employer, and it's what side and whose side are you on? Simple as that. Either you support the bosses or you support the workers. And I want to see the TUC in every single dispute that we have not sit there and say who the rights and wrongs of the agreements are, but to say to that union who are in struggle, how can we help you to defeat the bosses? We're now faced with all the 9 acts of anti-trade union legislation put upon us that are going to stay there. We went to court last week and lost, which is not unusual for us to go to court and lose, against a company called EDF, Energy de France. Well, Energy de France is a nationalised industry in France that now runs the energy for London Underground, makes a profit out of it, and then gives it back to its own state nationalised industry. In France, you've got a citizen's right to go and strike, but they took us to court to deny workers being involved in the ballot. No irregularities with the ballot. No one said the company that no one had got a ballot paper. None of their members said they never got a ballot paper. They said the matrix system was wrong. The matrix system was wrong because 67 engineers, who have been known as craftsmen and technicians, we have to put on a matrix form to the employer. They said that they didn't know who the people was that we was balloting. And hence, they wanted subcategories of grades. Now, why does the employer want to know about subcategories of grades? The employer uses these anti-trade union laws purely to put hoops and hurdles in front of workers to stop them fighting back. No democracy at all. The reality is that we are going to be faced, when the Tories get elected, with even worse anti-trade union laws. But the reason why we're going to get worse anti-trade union laws is because if a Conservative government was going out of power, what it would do is it would bring pieces of legislation to help its friends out in the city and scorch earth for everything that comes behind it. This Labour Party won't give us anything at all, because a lot of these MPs who know they're going to lose their seats are scared to upset big business because they're going to get seats on the boards of some of these companies once they get the seats. We have to argue the case, number one, about these trade union laws. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm not a friend, I don't suppose anyone here is a friend of Winston Churchill. But I've got to say, thank God he never adopted the same kind of laws that we have to adopt than he did in World War II. I mean, imagine him ringing up Adolf Hitler on a cold Tuesday night and saying, Adolf, in 7 days' time, by the way, we've got some Spitfires coming your way. And we might be bombing your plane, so do you mind moving them out of the way in case you saw anything? And the actual law says that Labour bought in, by the way. The reason why we have to give this information is because the employer needs to inform its workforce on the rights and wrongs of the strike. That's what it's about. Some people argue, well, it's the legal route. The legal route will say us that you can find a QC, you can find a judge out there that's going to save the day. Well, I've got good three friends in the lawyer's profession. Standing counsel, Jamie QC, one of those strange kind of people that only ever bats for the workers and not the bosses, like some of these QCs do. But I'll tell you what, without being crude, Chair, these lawyers, they're a bit like pox doctors. They want a cure of pox, but without pox, they haven't got any work. And they could really want to cure anti-trade union laws, but without any anti-trade union laws, they don't get paid to go and do it. So that's where they're coming from. So brothers and sisters, we've got to step up this campaign for repealing these anti-trade union laws. Secondly, on the case of politics, I think myself that the alliance that is now up and running, and I can say that up and running, our executive hasn't endorsed that yet because the actual document was only agreed probably 2 or 3 days ago, and our executive committee ain't met. But we'll be meeting in the next 4 or 5 weeks. But my personal view, as my personal view, it should be adopted. And the reason why it should be adopted is that come March the 16th, when Parliament shuts down, 4 months from now, you're going to be faced as working people, and your trade union organisation will be faced, who are you going to support in the election? I've already heard from some people who have said to me, oh, well, Bob, we've got to be careful, because we don't want to be accused that we're the ones that let the Tories in. I'll tell you who's let the Tories in. New Labour has let the Tories in. I've also been told by senior officials, who one of them tried to, in a jokingly way, grab your lapels at the TUC. They'll never forgive you, Bob, if Vic Griffin gets elected as an MP. Well, I'll tell you what, the reason why the BNP are doing so well is because not only are they fed up with this Labour government, but we're in the middle of an economic crisis. The BNP can only survive when there's social deprivation, when there's lack of houses, lack of jobs, lack of hospital beds, and people feel they've got no hope out there. So the way to defeat the BNP is to get those million builders off the dole and start building houses for people to live in. By the way, I'm all in favour of public spending cuts, by the way. First one I want is to get our troops out of Afghanistan and Iraq. That's the first cut. And the second cut in public spending is to stop this Trident nuclear weapons system that might be coming. And thirdly, the National Identity Scheme. So you can save the money there and start building those houses. Paying 84% into a bank like the Royal Bank of Scotland, and you can't have a say whether those directors don't or do get a bonus. Why do we need the Royal Bank of Scotland? Why do we need HBOS? Why do we need lawyers? What do people want banks for? To save money, to take money out, to lend money to buy a mortgage or whatever. Why can't the post office do all that? I stood in the European elections. I mean, people accused me of being a little Englander, wrapped up in a Union Jack, just the same as the Tories. But I'll tell you what, someone said to me, a good friend, all your bob really is keeping the Queen's egg on a £10 note. Well, I couldn't care less with the Queen's head or the Queen's arse is on a £10 note. You can pay me in rubles, you can pay me in shekels. That's not the issue. I've got more in common with a Chinese labourer than I had with one of those city stockbrokers in the city of London. About the state of the individual person's nationality. Us in the shipping industry have had jobs taken away by Malaysian workers, Indonesian workers. We're not against Malaysian or Indonesian workers, it's got nothing to do with it. They only replace seafarers with lower rates of pay. They don't bring Norwegians in to take British jobs away because they're paying 50% more. It's a class issue, and the reality is immigration purely is on the basis of the accident of where you was born. Nothing else. The entire railway network was built by immigrants. Irish labour come over here 160 years ago and built the railways. The real enemy at the end of the day is the bosses that want to hold us down on the basis of an ideological hatred that they don't want us to have nothing, they want to keep us down there. Well, brothers and sisters, I think this trade union movement needs to be challenged on why ain't you representing workers properly. And I believe a political party in the form of alliance next year should start standing against these. Not the likes of John McDonnell and Jeremy Corbyn, who have done a sterling job in my opinion, but for those MPs like Straw and Blunkett, they should be challenged. And Griffin should be challenged. Why has it got to be left to New Labour to stand against Griffin? And a rally like this gives us the opportunity to reaffirm our faith and reaffirm our belief and our commitment to militant trade unionism and a socialist way. Don't spend billions constructing society, let's start spending billions in constructing society. Thank you.